Well, hey, everybody. Okay, we are in week three of our series that we are calling Defining the Relationship. Hopefully by now you've caught on to the metaphor that, you know, in every dating relationship, you reach that point where you have to define the relationship and figure out, how do you feel about me? What are we doing here? What is this relationship? Are we friends? Are we more than that? Defining the relationship. And so the last 2 weeks, we have been looking at actually a relatively short statement. It is our new mission statement as a church. Our mission is to connect people into the relationships that matter and send them out to meet real needs. Connecting and sending. That is our mission. So when we talk about defining the relationship, what are we doing here? We are connecting and sending. And in the first week, we talked about what we're connecting people into. We're connecting people first and foremost, the relationship that matters most, into Jesus Christ. And we're connecting them into these other kinds of relationships that we see in Scripture, relationships with other believers where we know each other and are known, and relationships with the world around us. Relationships with our families, relationships with our neighbor. Connecting people into the relationships that matter and sending ourselves out to meet real needs. That's what we're doing. Today, we're going to take one more look at kind of the follow-up to that, and I'll get into that in a minute, but as I was doing some reading and preparing, actually, I stumbled across this quite a long time ago. In a sense, you could say that what we're doing is we're putting into place our understanding as a church of what we are called to do and to be. Now, there's some basics that are true for every church, and you could probably pull two main scripture passages out that set our course. One is the Great Commission. Jesus' last words to his followers. Go, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I'm with you always to the very end. But the thrust there, go, make disciples. Well, then there's another place where Jesus has some wise words, and this is usually called the greatest commandment. In fact, somebody asks Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. So when we talk about connecting and sending, what we're really getting at here is we are fulfilling the Great Commission in the spirit of the Great Commandment. We're making disciples by loving God and loving neighbor. But the heart and the phrase you're going to hear over and over from here on out is connect and send. That's what we do. Today we're going to look at a passage from Acts 2. If it sounds familiar, that probably is not a bad thing since it's in the Bible. But it may also be because I preached on this about 3 weeks ago, and I warned you then that you'd be hearing it again very soon. Especially since a few of you were playing hooky that day. So, here we go again. This is actually, believe it or not, a different sermon. Same passage. And in actuality, is that a right word? Actually, this passage has been for us kind of a guiding description for what the life of a church is supposed to be about. What the relationships in a church body are all about. So as we've had these conversations about vision and mission and purpose, we've come back to this passage over and over again to shape our paradigm. So as we talk about defining the relationship, as we talk about who we are, what we're doing here, what this relationship is, this is a great place to pull from. Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What a challenging description of the life of a church. The early church, the first church. A couple of main points that I want to get at. First, they devoted themselves. Take a second and just make a mental list. What are the things you are devoted to? Devotion is more than just showing up. What are you devoted to? Devotion means you're committed. It means you're all in. So what are you devoted to? I think this is the question that's at the heart of any defining the relationship kind of conversation. How do you feel about me? Are you devoted to this relationship? The early believers, the first followers of Christ, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Now, this is important because there's something that's easy to miss. And that thing is, it's easy to hear this, the apostles' teachings, and to think information, to think education, to think learning, right? I don't know if that's what you thought of, but it's the first idea that pops in my head. The problem is, in Jesus' day, that's not what learning was at all. In fact, in the Great Commission, he says, go and make disciples, teaching them to do what? Obey all that I have commanded you. Teaching, in Jesus' paradigm, in his worldview, teaching was all about action. I read a description once that said, it was a description of the mainline church. And I may have quoted this before, but it says, we are educated beyond our obedience. Does that make sense? We emphasize information, and we forget about transformation. But in the Bible, those two are the same. So education that doesn't result in our lives being different isn't education at all. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching in order to be made different. And how different? More in the image of Christ. That's critical. We'll come back to that. There's a couple of other things that they were devoted to. And I think you could sum a group of them up with one word: worship. And the heart of worship, really, it's our connection with Jesus Christ. They were devoted to growing in their connection to Jesus Christ, their relationship with Jesus Christ. We see it in several places. They met every day in the temple. It's tough getting ready for Sunday mornings, but if you want to do this every day, we'll need to find another place. They have school, but I'll do it. I'll meet you there. They met every day in the temple. They devoted themselves to learning about Jesus from the apostles. They prayed. They were serious about connecting with Jesus. Here's the thing. God is not an afterthought for them. God doesn't get the time that's left over after everything else. They began with God. God was the first priority, and everything else had to fit around God, around being devoted to worship. They also devoted themselves to each other. They devoted themselves to the fellowship, it says. That's not the act of fellowship. It's not fellowshipping. It's not the time that we're going to fellowship after the sermon and drink coffee and eat donuts. They devoted themselves to the fellowship, the body, to one another. The early church, this Acts church, they didn't have a lot of programs. What they did have was a commitment to one another. And one of the primary expressions of church for them was eating meals together in one another's homes. And what did they do when they ate meals together? They praised God. They lived life together. They shared life together. They knew that they needed each other. We do too. We just don't realize it. I'm getting ahead. I'll come back to that. The early Christians were devoted to Jesus. They were committed to one another. And they were committed to their neighbor. When Jesus says the greatest commandment is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself, we see that lived out in these first followers of Jesus. When they began to sell their very possessions to meet any who had need, to be able to provide for anyone who had need, they were more committed to taking care of those in need than they were to having things. They were that devoted to sharing the love of Jesus with everyone they knew. You also see this lived out in the end of this passage when it describes what happened. Every day, God added to their number those who were being saved. That's another expression of how they were devoted to loving their neighbor. Imagine what that would be like every day. Not stealing members from other churches. People being saved, being added to their number by people connecting with Jesus. That would be fun. What's being described here in Acts 2 is basically, in a word, discipleship. This is the community of worship doing what they were made to do. It's discipleship in action. So what about us? What do we take away from this? How do we apply this? How does this help us define the relationship? Well, going back to our mission, connecting people into the relationships that matter and sending them out to meet real needs. Connecting and sending. You know what that is? It's discipleship. Connecting and sending is all about making disciples of ourselves and those around us. It's our way of explaining how we understand our particular calling, our church, first church's take on the Great Commission through the lens of the greatest commandment. It's the way that we are going to make disciples. So, to flesh this out a little bit, we probably should start by defining discipleship. What a completely impossible task with the little bit of time I have left. But the way I'm going to do it is by boiling it down to three little points. A disciple, if we build on that framework, this summary, this short description in Acts 2, we could say a disciple is someone who walks intimately with Christ, lives in community with others, serves the church and the world. We'll say it another way. I'm going to put a slide up for you. A disciple is someone who is always learning to love God more, love people more, and love more people. We're going to connect and send by always doing that. So this next slide is putting feet on what we're talking about. We will connect and send through worship, small groups, and outreach. I want to say a little word about each of these. Worship. This is not really about Sunday morning. It includes Sunday morning. But really, Sunday morning is preparing us to worship all week long. In the Acts 2 passage, we see worship is just beginning with God so that we can stick with God through the rest of our time, our week. It means carving out time and space in which we intentionally turn our eyes to heaven and see like things really are. Hopefully it happens in your home as much as it happens here. Maybe even in your car. Maybe even when you get a little break at work. Worship is turning our eyes towards Jesus. It's reconnecting with God. It's all about loving God more. Small groups. Now, I know you hear me talk about small groups all the time. And there's a reason for it. Our deep conviction is that we grow best towards Christ and into Christ when we do it together. And the early church knew this. They grew out of, these were all Jews at the beginning, and their model was the synagogue in which they gathered in their community. And they didn't have somebody doing this. They didn't have somebody preaching. Anybody could stand up, read from the scroll, and talk about what they read. And you know what happens next? They talked about it. And Scott, who's a little older than me, could say, "Yeah, I like what you're saying, but there's also this." And Al, who's a lot smarter than me, could say, "Yeah, but what about this?" And then my wife could say, "Yeah, but you're all forgetting about the most important thing," which is, and together they grew towards Christ. We need each other. And we believe that the very best things we are called to do as a church are going to happen in the context of small groups. Our stated goal, you ready for this? Our stated goal here at the launch is to have at least as many people in small groups as we have average attendance. Ambitious? Yes. I would call it a God-sized goal. Now, this does not mean that you can't come to the launch if you're not in a small group. It doesn't mean that at all. What it does mean is that we're going to keep encouraging you to connect with one another, because we know that when we do that, God works on us. Small groups are about loving people more. Outreach. Outreach, simply put, is loving more people. In the Acts passage, we see that show up in a couple of ways when they are willing to sell their... They're so committed to other people that they're willing to sell their own possessions to meet their needs. And outreach takes the shape of loving other people so much that we're willing to invite them into a relationship with Jesus. Both are critical. This is about loving others enough to go to any length to meet their needs, their real needs, whether that need be for food or shelter, or for forgiveness and healing and wholeness. That's outreach. That's loving more people. And here's what happens. Worship, small groups, outreach. What we're basically describing is a process. As you connect with Jesus Christ, God sends you to form authentic community with others. And as you connect with people in those small group settings, then we send you out to serve together. And as you have those experiences of serving other people, and you see, just like our teenagers are going to do, you see the face of Jesus in the one you're serving, that sends you back into worship at a whole deeper place, which then sends you into community at a deeper place, which sends you to serve at a deeper place. It is an ever-deepening cycle of discipleship. And it doesn't finish until we're sitting at the feet of Jesus. Loving God more, loving people more, loving more people. Worship, small groups, outreach. We're going to take each one of those seriously. We're going to encourage each other to be devoted to those things. Why? Because we are committed to connecting and sending. Our vision is to expand the kingdom of God. Our vision is to impact our community, to have an eternal impact on our community. Our vision is to see this place where we live transformed by Jesus Christ. And we're going to do that by connecting and sending through worship, small groups, and outreach. And maybe if God has mercy on us and smiles on us with favor, maybe he'll add to our number those who are being saved. Let's pray that that happens.